Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR senior education reporter Carrie Young, welcome back.
Hey, Daryl. Happy to be here.
Carrie, we are happy to have you. Unfortunately, it seems like it's not the best news for the state's child care providers. Today, we're talking to you about the Commonwealth Cares for Children program. That's also known as the C3 program. It's a state grant program that started during the pandemic, and it provides monthly funding to child care providers, which is a big deal because, Carrie, as you've reported on before, these child care providers operate on very thin margins, right?
Oh, yes. Razor thin.
Right. And so you recently reported that state officials had to cut funding to stay within its budget for the year. And these budget cuts are going to affect May and June, but there's some uncertainty for the future, which we're going to get into. Now, this funding, though it's only 2 months, it's going to impact more than half of the 8,323 child care providers in the state. So I want to start off, Carrie, with you telling us how much money are we talking about and why is this happening?
Yeah, so the pot of money that we're talking about is $475 million. That is how much the state during this fiscal year has funded the Commonwealth Cares for Children grant program, as you said, also known as C3. So I asked the commissioner of the Early Education and Care Department in the state, her name is Amy Kershaw, that exact question, Daryl, and she said, it's kind of complicated, but believe it or not, on the one hand, it's because the program has been so successful.
This program has been a game changer for the early education and care sector and succeeding to increase capacity, bring more children in, raise us beyond pre-pandemic levels, which has been an enormous success. So we know this program works.
Yeah, so it's a good news, but reality news situation. It's not good for the providers who are being impacted. And the good news comes in because the program was meant to, you know, increase space for students, you know, for providers to be able to increase their enrollment, to be able to open up access to students who might need a state voucher to go to childcare. And this program has done that. It's even surpassed the capacity that the state was at just before the pandemic by about 10,600 seats. And so, you know, because this program is working as well as it is, they are running low on cash for the fiscal year of 2024.
So the problem is the program works. It's the main message I'm getting here.
The program works really well. Yeah. And the reason why this is so hard to budget for is because when a provider is able to add more seats, which they were quite a bit, you know, in the last couple of years, they qualify for more funding. With that constantly changing amount, that's how we got into this situation of running short.
It's not a steady number.
Yeah. It's a little hard to predict. Yeah.
Got it. Now, you mentioned that child care providers would get funding based on how many seats they could add. What exactly does that money allow them to do?
Yeah, so it's really up to the provider's discretion. This is why during the pandemic, when this program was developed, it was such a game changer because there were a lot of increased costs, right? Whatever you need this for, it's to help you stay afloat. Now, a lot of providers are using it for, you know, increasing the pay for their teachers, which have been very, very underpaid historically. And so for some of the providers, they were able to give teachers a 5 to 6% increase. So this helps reduce turnover and all kinds of other good things, which also in turn leads to providers being able to have more seats open.
Right. So it's helping to stabilize this very vital job market here.
Correct.
Did you get a chance to speak to anybody in the industry who's affected by this?
Yeah, I got flooded by emails from providers. So I was able to call back a few. The first one was Lisa Martin, and she is the owner of Side by Side Preschool in Chicopee. And she says, you know, on the one hand, it's good that she has about a month or so to figure out what's going to happen. But then, of course, she's like, I actually don't really know what to cut here. Here's how she describes it.
At least I have a month where I can kind of look at this and say, okay, now what am I going to do? I can't cut staff because then I have to cut enrollment, and I can't say to a parent, you can't come anymore because, you know, I don't have the staff.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's a tough decision. She does have a couple programs that are extras, but were important to her families. Like, she did have a program that, you know, if a family didn't qualify for a voucher, or maybe they're on a long waiting list to get a voucher and they needed the financial help, she could give them somewhat of a discount. And the C3 grants helped with that. So that might be on the list of what to cut. She's still deciding. She doesn't really have many good options in terms of what to cut. And so that's really hard. Another provider I talked to was Caitlin Maddox, and she is the co-executive director of the Family Cooperative in Watertown. And, you know, she felt disheartened by this whole thing.
We already are in a field that is just continuously feels really undervalued in our society. And this giving us this news on such short notice has been really, it only shakes that feeling.
Yeah, you can tell she's pretty down about it. And I just want to give you an idea of how much funding this is for a provider. On a monthly basis, if she were to get the full amount, if Caitlin was able to get the full amount of her C3 grant, it comes to about $15,000. And so losing 75% of that for 2 months, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, that's a big, big chunk. Wow. Carrie, we're going to take a quick break here. But when we get back, I want to talk about the childcare industry more broadly and what state lawmakers are doing about it. So we'll be right back.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with WBUR senior education reporter, Carrie Young. So Carrie, we're talking to you about the funding cuts coming to the Commonwealth Cares for Children, also known as the C3 grant program. I want to zoom out and get into the aspect of those razor thin margins, right? What does it tell us about this industry more broadly when these funding cuts have this kind of impact, this detrimental impact on childcare providers?
Yeah, I think it means that this is an industry, a sector of the education system, if you will, in Massachusetts, that does not have a lot of state or federal support. Now, it does have a lot more state support than it did in years past. I mean, if you look at the 2024 budget compared to 2021 for early education and care, it is up 78%. So the state is spending a lot more money than it used to on early education and care. But at the same time, it's been really underinvested in for a long time. And, you know, providers are really stuck between not wanting to shut out parents by having tuition rates that are too high to afford. But at the same time, because the state requires, for safety reasons, and no one is complaining about this, but for safety reasons, there has to be a certain ratio of adults to students. You know, when you're just like paying for that person power, gets expensive, and it leaves a little other room for other things like insurance or rent or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to get into what state lawmakers are doing. The day after your story published last week, the Massachusetts Senate passed a bill that would make permanent the C3 grants. The bill still has to pass through the House and get a signature from the governor to become law. So two questions here. Do you think it will become a law? And how helpful could it be for childcare in the state?
Ooh, what's the likelihood? That's a tough one. For the last few years, advocacy groups, others, the childcare industry as a whole have been pushing to try to get some kind of sweeping childcare bill passed in Massachusetts, but they haven't quite gotten there. So whether this is going to be the one that's going to do it, it's really hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the impact of this one is also a little bit tough to say because while you mentioned it would make the C3 grants permanent, it would also do a couple other things like expand the eligibility to the state voucher program so that the family could make a little bit more money but also still qualify for a voucher.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really have teeth as much as like, you know, I think providers and others would like to see. So for the C3 grant part of it, yes, it would be permanent, but it also doesn't say how much it has to be funded every year. So, you know, I've heard from some advocacy groups about this and they say, you know, we're grateful for any movement on this and we love to see the momentum. And so that's kind of the reaction I've gotten so far on this, as opposed to this is a game changer.
Well, in the meantime, the cuts to C3 that we're talking about today, again, those are for May and June, the end of this fiscal year. What happens after that?
Well, that's a little unclear at this point. I asked that very question to Early Education and Care Commissioner Amy Kershaw, and she said her department and the Healey administration are still putting a lot of thought to what's next. What we do know is that the program will remain universal. You will still get funding, but the amount of funding might change. So if you are a provider that either doesn't accept students with vouchers or maybe doesn't serve that many, you could theoretically see less money than you are right now. Again, it's still unknown. But what the commissioner did tell me was that the priority will be on supporting providers that do serve a higher number of students that are on vouchers or they operate in a high needs location. The other thing to keep in mind too is at least right now, there aren't any proposals on the table to really increase the amount of funding that goes towards the C3 program from the state. Governor Healey's proposal for the C3 program is to send about the same amount of money to the program, and that's about $475 million. So right now there's not new funding on the table, but you know, we're not quite done making the budget yet, so we'll see what happens.
Understood. Well, Carrie, thank you for talking to us about it, and I'm sure you'll be covering this down the line, so we'll look out for your coverage. Thank you for coming through to the Common and talking to us about it. It's always, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Daryl. Always fun.
That's WBUR senior education reporter Carrie Young. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you want to get in touch with us, feel free to head on over to Instagram and send us a message at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.